Off the Ball Daily.
A home for your favourite podcasts from Off the Ball.
Is that his answer?
Oh, yeah. That works. Oh, yeah.
People make mistakes.
People make mistakes at certain times, at certain quizzes. It's fine.
Subscribe to the Off the Ball Daily podcast feed right now.
Minister Thomas Byrne, it's nice to be here at Paralympics Ireland, and we're all gearing up to get over to Paris for the Paralympics. Are you looking forward to it?
Look, it'll be great. I think we saw from the Olympics there a few weeks ago, it's a great source of national pride, but also just general interest to watch people taking part and competing at the highest levels in the world. It's just incredibly strong interest, and I think we're going to see the same for the Paralympics, because I think, as I said, the time zones are fairly handy. Like, so if you watch something that's on at 8 o'clock in Paris, it's on at 7 o'clock here, so it's very easy to watch. I think people will do that with the Paralympics, I've no doubt about it, because it's great to see all the media here today talking about covering it and all that, and I think it's fantastic because some of our athletes are going to just perform absolutely exceptionally, and I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, there's a lot of excitement in the room and anticipation, and we do hope that the momentum from the Olympics kicks on now for the Paralympics.
I'm convinced it will, and even beyond that as well. What I said to our Olympians was, yeah, we want you to go out and compete at the highest possible levels, but we also want you to inspire the next generation. I'm saying the same to the Paralympians, and not just to people with disabilities, but to the wider population to be inspired by our Paralympians over there. There's a really interesting range of sports in the Paralympics, and one thing we saw in France is how popular competitive table tennis is in France. Table tennis has long been a feature of Paralympics and Irish Paralympics. That will continue as well with Colin Judge this year. And I actually think that's something that we could all take inspiration from, and hoping our athletes can do that extra, not just take part, not just compete, but, you know, compete and win at the highest levels.
And it's all about having that equal opportunity for people with disabilities here in Ireland. Do you think there is equal opportunity at the moment here in Ireland?
No, not yet. We talk about the gender gap a lot. So the gender gap actually between men and women is closing very fast. So it's down to about 2%. There's still work to do, but we're working on it. But there's a very significant gap for people with disabilities. So they're not taking part of the extent that the general population is. So that's got to change. I hope this will be part of it. But what we've got to do is fund all of our sports, make sure all our facilities are suitable for people with disabilities, and also widen the range of sports as well, because there's some sports are more suitable for people with disabilities, and or they've adapted to them. For example, like table tennis has become very popular, where it's not as popular maybe with the nation as a whole. So these things we can learn from each other, but we've got to make sure that we give everybody an opportunity to take part in sport. We've got targets of 60% of the population taking part in sport on a weekly basis. We're up at about 47%, but we won't achieve that target unless we reach into every section of society and make sure that people in all sections of society are given the opportunity to take part in sport.
And one of the biggest things is facilities, and we're here on the Sport Ireland campus at the moment, and it is just phenomenal. Like, if you're in and out of the FAI building or the IRFU building, it's incredible what the facilities are, but it's also important that we have it across the country.
Well, I would actually disagree with that to an extent, because I think if we're going to have a high performance centre here, if we had another one in somewhere else in the country, it wouldn't be the high performance centre, it would be the second rate one. So here in Dublin we have the high performance centre, where our best athletes are, including our para athletes, are here on an equal basis with other athletes. They are training and being coached and working to the highest possible level. So I think there's a really strong argument for, you know, to have our high performance centralised as much as we can. That's not to say that we don't need other facilities around the country. We do need a swimming pool in Cork, a 50 metre pool in Cork. We need more swimming pools around the country. What we will see now next month, we make announcements about, we've over 400 million in announcements to make on sporting projects around the country, is you will see GAA, soccer, rugby, athletics, you see all the sports benefiting all around the country in terms of projects that are being announced, and I've no doubt that that would be a huge benefit. And one of the issues we have is that is to make sure that these facilities are actually placed around the country, and that not everything is in Dublin. But I have to say there's a strong argument for Dublin to be a high performance centre, because our athletes need to be working with other athletes at the highest possible levels, and that's for our Paralympians and our Olympians and all of our international athletes.
I suppose it's about having the tracks, the running tracks, as you said, the swimming pools across the country, that it's more flexible for maybe young athletes up and coming that mightn't be at this level yet.
Yeah, absolutely. In terms of running tracks, generally speaking, around the country, we're not too bad. There are gaps there, there's no question about it. So Cork is a gap, but we've, you know, granted 14 million for the MTU. Bandon Athletic Club, or Phil Healy runs, is a massive construction project. There are other applications as well in the Sports Capital Programme that I hope we'll be announcing next month. So we do need more, and we need to make sure that we renew the ones we have as well.
And in terms of the League of Ireland and your relationship with the FAI, what can we see in terms of improvements in facilities and all of that with the League of Ireland?
Well, the FAI are already at the moment getting more and vastly more than any other sport in the country because of the Memorandum of Understanding. So ordinarily they would expect to be getting 2.9 million a year from Sport Ireland through the NGB funding. That's way more than athletics gets, way more than swimming gets, like multiples of it. But they're actually getting double that now at the moment, up to now, because of the Memorandum of Understanding. They were getting 5.8 million a year. They've come in for a renewal of the Memorandum of Understanding, which again, let's remember, is an emergency funding facility, because essentially they ran out of money because of what was happening under under the Delaney era. So that's under consideration at the moment. We hope to bring that to a conclusion soon. But on top of what they've already sort of been getting, they've actually looked for, I would say, vastly more. And I'm not sure how realistic that is, because they're already getting significantly more than most other sports. Part of their sport is a professional sport as well. We have to acknowledge that. I have said we want to see an academy structure built up, but I see lately they're blaming Brexit on the academy structure, on not having academies, because they now have the responsibility to train players. I mean, quite frankly, when I hear this stuff, I kind of wonder, because the Football Association of Ireland has always had the responsibility to train Irish players, but they weren't doing it. So now they realise, to be fair to them, that they need to do it. They need government support. I've said that we want to do that for academies. It won't be to the extent that they've sought, which again would bring them to just a level vastly higher than other sports. We also have to be cognizant of the fact as well that some of the teams are fully professional in the League of Ireland, quite most of the men's teams, some of the women's teams. We have to be cognizant of that. There are commercial opportunities for them. Now, I realise those commercial opportunities aren't realised at the moment or fully realised at the moment. But that's a differentiation with that sport. So, look, all these things will be taken into account, but I would hope we'll be in position to renew the MOU, the government will take that decision, and that we'll do something, we'll give something towards academies. But there's going to be a lot of conditions with that, and I'm very strong on the football pathways plan that the FAI have developed. To be fair to them, they've developed a really worked out plan, and I hear there are noises there of disagreement on it. They really need to rationalise their structure. They've worked hard to do this internally, they've got experts in, and I think that's something I give them a lot of credit for. And they're going to just have to be bold in relation to this, because I think the structure of football, if you look where I live in East Meath, there are teams in my area beside each other, maybe there's three or four different leagues that they could be in, so the structure is just not there, and that's only one part of it. So that needs to change. I'd be very strong on that, and I know that many people will support that as well. So look, let's see what the next few weeks brings, and we bring this to a conclusion.
And for you, as your role within sport as a minister, what do you see your role as?
My role is to increase participation to the highest possible level. So everything I do is based on that. So whether it's supporting our high-performance athletes like our Paralympians today or Olympians a few weeks ago, how does that increase participation so that, you know, the cream rises to the top? If we're doing major sporting events like we're doing the College Classic this week and other ones, the Ryder Cup, how do we increase participation out of that? How do we inspire other people? When we increase facilities, spend money in facilities, it's all about increasing participation. So that's really fundamentally my job, is to get more people involved, because everything else kind of follows. The high performance will follow if you've got more people taking part in sport. Yeah.
And will you be heading over to Paris?
I will be there for a few days, yeah, and I'm really looking forward to it. I think the Olympics were fantastic. It was wonderful to see. I think we learned a lot of lessons in Paris as well about, you know, the use of facilities. Like, you don't need big Taj Mahals for every single sport. Like, you know, they really did very, very well reusing buildings there, and I think there's a lot we can learn.
Do you think you could see Ireland hosting the Olympics and Paralympic Games one day?
Well, my colleague Sandra Malcolm Byrne was talking about 2072, but actually, like, if you actually took the Paris model and only built one brand new facility, but maybe we might need a few more, of course, but you wouldn't be far off it. But look, who knows? I mean, we have in the next few years, we have the Euros in 28, we have the Cricket World Cup, we have the Ryder Cup. So we have a range of global sporting events coming to Ireland in the next 5 years. So I think there's a lot to look forward to there. So maybe the Olympics, it's not something I completely dismiss, but it's not something for the next 5 years anyway for my program.
Brilliant. Minister Thomas Warren, thanks for your time.
Thanks very much, Ashley. All right.
Joined by the CEO of Paralympics Ireland, Stephen McNamara. Stephen, what are you most excited for? It is days away now. You can definitely feel the anticipation and the excitement here in the room.
I think now it's about just getting on that flight and getting there. It's one of those things, you know, you build for so long into a huge event like this. And all of the I's are dotted, all of the T's are crossed, and now it really is stop tinkering with things, get on the flight, get over there, and let the games begin. And it really is that aspect of letting the athletes get out and enjoy the village for the first few days, hopefully enjoy the opening ceremony, the ones that get to go, and then really focus back in on competition. And for me, getting out to see all of the athletes compete is going to be just such a proud moment, because myself and the team have been working for the last number of months really, and just making sure that every detail is covered for them. And what we've heard from our counterparts in the OFI is that Paris is just a phenomenal experience, and everybody is just saying the same thing, just go and enjoy it, which is what we hope to do.
And you're a year and a half in the role as CEO of the Paralympics Ireland. What did you expect coming into the role, and how has it been?
Well, I think the most important thing for coming in a year and a half from the Games is don't change things too much, you know? The great reassurance I got straight away is that there's a phenomenal team here in Paralympics Ireland. There's a phenomenal team of support people here in the Sports Institute and in Sport Ireland. And all of those people have been working for years, not just into the Paris Games, actually through different cycles. Already we're looking forward to the LA Games and thinking who we bring there. So the first thing was to get in and really, I suppose, get to know the sports, get to know, some people don't like it, but I sometimes refer to sports as a product, and because we know that's the area we're in as well. So get to know the product, get to meet the people, get to know the athletes and the other NGB CEOs, the people in Sport Ireland, our funders, our sponsors, the media, and really kind of immerse myself into the whole experience of para sport before we go to LA. So that now when we go through, before we go to Paris, so that now when we go through to the LA cycle, that I'm much more ready to go, and not, I suppose, asking silly questions of people who are busy.
And for the athletes, like, we've met a lot of them over the last year or so. I have, getting to go to so many of the media events, which has been brilliant. Some of them are here today. It's a massive moment in their lives and for their families and their coaches, for all the work that they've put in.
You've hit the nail on the head. At the end of the day, really, it's really about the athletes. And it's, I think, definitely about the families in this Games experience as well. We have 14 athletes who are returning for their second Games. But this is the first Games where they'll have their families there. And then we have 12 athletes that this is their first Games. So they're going to experience the crowd, the roar, the Irish support, the interest back home. And that's phenomenal for them. You know, that's phenomenal for an athlete. Like, we do a lot of our work in the shadows. You know, like, we don't always get this platform the same with our athletes from the Olympics. They get, I suppose, once every 4 years really celebrated. Now we want to work on making those opportunities more in the next cycle, but what we really want to do in this cycle is celebrate the here and the now, and the here and the now really is all about the athlete.
And one of the most exciting things as well is there's so many sports that are on show and being represented by Ireland.
Absolutely. I mean, we I suppose when Irish people think about either the Olympics or the Paralympics, we go to probably, you know, the track, we think about the pool, and certainly in para, you think about cycling. But for me, what I'm really excited about is the powerlifting, the archery. We have table tennis back again this year, which is just phenomenal. And I think Colin will do really well. And I think for us, the importance of that, and the minister touched on it earlier, is that they're accessible sports. You know, it's quite easy to get people to play table tennis, and I think that's the model that we need to look at as we go forward into the future, is how do we get more opportunities for people to discover other sports. We are a nation of sports lovers, I suppose heavily dominated by the big three, which would be soccer, GAA and rugby, and everybody gets in behind them and wishes those teams well. And I know all of those teams and all of those athletes will get in behind the Olympic and Paralympic athletes in this summer of sport, and it's kind of, it just feels like it's our window.
Brilliant. And tell us a little bit about your own background, I suppose, what you've taken from other sports that you've been involved in into Paralympics Ireland.
I suppose the inspiration for going for this role really was from my time in rugby. When I started in the IRFU, 12 years ago, one of my really big KPIs was to get more exposure for the women's game. There was a journey along the way. There was a lot of good. There was some bad, you know. But I think the IRFU did a great job. And for me, the ability to work on, I suppose, a product that needed and a sport that needed that exposure, and then to leave when it had received a huge amount of exposure down to the athletes. It's always down to the athletes, their successes, the media got in behind it. And what I want to do now with Parasport is to use the learnings from that. I've already spoken to Sport Ireland about that. The model is there. The model is the women in sport model that has seen the growth of women's sport for the last 10 years that's now benefiting sports. We're going to have more female athletes than male athletes at this games. And what we want to do is use that model, use those learnings, and bring it to the para community for the next 10 years. So by the time we get to Brisbane, we will have gone on that journey that women's sport has gone on for the last 10 years in Ireland. And I know Irish people will get in behind it because we all love our sport.
Brilliant, Stephen. And what overall are you most looking forward to now at the Paralympic Games?
I think for me, it's that really hard one, all right? Because I want all of the athletes to do well, and I don't want to lose any face with any of the athletes. But for me, really, I think there's just a beautiful moment there for Ellen Keane, which I'm just really looking forward to. Ellen has been, even when I was thinking about going for the role in Paralympics Ireland, Ellen was at the side of a bus every time I looked at the bus. She's just one of those people that's sort of cut through. She's been a great ambassador for Parasport, and she's already said this is her last games and she gets to do it in front of her family and friends. And I just can't wait to be there for that.
No, amazing, Stephen. Thank you so much for your time. To be joined by Jason Smith. Jason, are you looking forward to the Paralympics? It's all getting very real now.
It's getting very real indeed. We're just over a week away now. This will be my first games that I actually really involved or watching not being an athlete. So this was in Beijing, which is quite a few years ago, all the way, which was 2008, all the way up to Tokyo. So, yeah, honestly, I feel like I'm really looking forward to it, which may sound strange as an athlete, but I'm actually kind of content to have left that chapter behind to now be part of it and be part of the whole games experience and actually helping and supporting others, other athletes, as they take on the pressure and the expectation of having to perform. So I think Paris, like, look at off the Olympics, Paris, they did an incredible job. It really gives me, looking back, that London 2012 vibe again. We're in the same time zone, so close to home, just able to get that support. And I think Paris, we're really going to be able to build off the momentum of the Olympics, and I think Paris is going to be an incredible Games.
Yeah, and what an Olympics it was. I'm sure that momentum is going to continue on. Everyone was so excited to sit down each day, each evening to watch the Games, and no doubt that will be the same for the Paralympics. Tell us a little bit about your own success. Obviously, 6 gold medals at the Paralympic Games and 21 overall.
Yeah, I had a pretty good long career. So I competed at 4 Paralympic Games. Again, for anybody who maybe doesn't know, I competed in the 100 and 200 metres in the T13 category, which was a visually impaired category. So 4 Paralympic Games, 6 gold medals at the Games, and then a number of others at Europeans and Worlds. But it's the pinnacle for any athlete, the Olympics or the Paralympics, that 4 years that come around every 4 years. And there's just so much goes in preparation, time, effort, commitment, discipline, all the stuff that nobody else sees for that one moment. And that one moment for me was a 10-second race where everything was on the line. And it's just incredible to be there to also represent your country. And for me, feel very fortunate many times to stand up on that podium and hear the anthem.
And what would your message be to the athletes heading out to the Games? Some of them, for the very first time, they would be competing at the Paralympic Games, and then you have the likes of Ellen Keane. It's going to be our last Paralympics. What would your message be to them?
I think for me, there's two elements. Is enjoy being part of it. And I think sometimes as an athlete in those moments, we're so focused on what we need to do, which is absolutely right, but also enjoy the experience of the Games, because now sitting on the other side of the fence when it's done, those are experience and moments that you'll never get again. So to really make the most of them. The other thing from a performance aspect is to stay in control of the things that you can control. So much distraction, so much noise, so much hype, everything around the games. As an athlete, you've got to compete and get that right, and you've really got to focus on the things that you can influence and control, and that's then what allows you to go out and perform in those moments.
And you'll be heading over to the game to support, and you'll be involved when you walk up to the track. Are you not going to want to break out those spikes?
Should I bring the spikes just in case, you know?
No, no.